We're going to head and call the meeting to order. Construction committee.
It's in the planning. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, it's in construction.
At the chair's privilege, we're going to save all the report items to the end and move forward with the action items because we do have an EMC meeting at 11:30. So I want to make sure that we get through the action items before we go to the receive and file. Happy New Year to everybody, by the way.
Happy New Year.
All right, so let's begin with item number 66.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Item 66 is requesting approval, a recommendation to settle the claims with the contractor who worked on the sound wall in the amount of $1,750,000. This was a project that we had started with the Caltrans helping us with the design. We had some basic issues with the foundation, and then finally those issues got resolved, and we had claims from the contractor, and we have negotiated with the contractor to settle all of the disputes for an amount of $1,750,000, and this is within the project life of project budget. We request your approval.
Okay. The chair would entertain a motion.
Second.
Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Any further questions or discussions? Without objection, so ordered. Item 67.
Item 67, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, is requesting approval for $1 million stipend for regional connector with a contract currently is now under the RFP process. We have received the request for qualification, and those qualified have been given the proposal documents. And as has been our previous experience and practice with the design-build contract, a contract of this magnitude requires a lot of expertise and input from the private industry to prepare the documents, so we are requesting $1 million stipend for it.
And again, just to clarify, that's not just you giving those potential bidders $1 million, it's actual cost. It's a build process, right?
Actual cost is probably 5 to 6 times than what we are paying. So we are just as an incentive for them to be involved.
How many bidders on this project?
We are in blockout period. I am unable to tell you at this point. We can probably tell you.
Yeah, Mr. Weezer. Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the on this item, we're regional connector, we're offering $1 million. I believe on the West Side Subway, we were offering 1.5. Why the difference?
The difference is West Side is $3.9 million, and this is just 3.9 miles. This is just less than 2 miles. Number two, West Side has major issues like tar sands, fossils, and trying to find out a creative way how to deal tunneling issues with in the tar sand area. So there's a lot of expertise required by the industry to come to some final solutions. That's why additional money is for them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, item 67 is before us.
Second.
Without objection, so ordered. 68, basically you answered that. The additional money for the stipend is based on other outside kinds of things that they may have to deal with and find. So.
Complexity of the work involved, that's the reason for the additional.
Okay. We do have a speaker on item 68. Mr. Klugman.
I'm going to rehearse this today for next week. The West Side Subway, it's nonsensical, this thing. I never understood what the difference was between having the station at Santa Monica Boulevard, if you could build an exit on Constellation, versus having a stop at Constellation with an exit onto Santa Monica Boulevard. It seemed like the same thing. Now, I have a solution. Right now, you're planning to have the subway stop at La Cienega and Wilshire, and the next stop was going to be at Rodeo and Wilshire. Let's make these people happy about Santa Monica, and let's build the stop at Santa Monica and Rodeo, and then go on to Century City. And what can we do if we do that? We can drill the tunnel directly under Beverly Hills City Hall. And if we do, and it sinks 2 feet into the ground, that's fine with me.
Wow, that's a design option we've never considered. Okay. All right, so item 68 is before us.
So moved.
Chair will second. Any objections? So ordered. Next is item number 69.
Item number 69, Mr. Chairman, is requesting approval to go design build to provide some awning for our storage facilities on the Blue Line. It's a 2,300 square foot area that we are going to be getting for storage. Design build is going to give us the innovative and creative ideas from the design builder. So we are asking approval to go design build.
I just ask a question of council on this. It says it requires a two-thirds vote. There's only three of us here, so
vote would be at the full board.
Pardon me?
That vote wouldn't come until the full board, the two-thirds requirement.
Perfect. Oh, great. Thanks. Okay. Go ahead. Proceed. I'm sorry.
So we request approval. We go to the next
Okay.
Slide.
Are there any questions?
We send it to the board.
Okay. Second. Without objection, so we will be moving that to the full board. All right, number 70.
Yes, sir. Number 70 is the Patsouras Plaza Busway Station. We have Mr. Tim Lindholm to give you the background on that particular item.
Good morning. I've been reporting to the committee the past couple months that we are knee-deep in redesigning the Patsouras Plaza project to save money. We put it out to bid, and the bids came in high. We're looking to wrap up the redesign on that project. We need to give more authority to our contractor, STV, our design contractor. So what this item does, it authorizes us to additional contract modification authority so that we can do this redesign. As soon as we're done with the redesign, we'll have this back out on the street in April with reduced costs. This item also deals with a mistake that staff made. We inadvertently over-authorized our contractor, STV, by $60,000 in our zeal to redesign this project, and so this item fixes that mistake, and that's included within the CMA.
Move approval.
Second.
Any further discussion? Any questions? Any objections? So be the order. All right, 71 A, B, C, and D.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, we would suggest that the committee defer segment D and approve segments A and B and C, and Murthy can go through those three segments. Right, Murthy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. We can defer that to the full board or just defer it.
We will come back probably in March on the segment D discussion, but we can proceed. We don't need that approval today or this week, this meeting.
Well, so, and C will generate the same discussion. So
C actually has to do with geotechnical work in the Beverly Hills area.
It sure does.
So we would suggest that work proceed where that would be just appropriate to do. Murthy, would you like to explain A and B and C?
Yes, sir.
Briefly?
Can we...
Jose, did you have a question?
Yeah, well, yes, on that issue. Defer, you mean to delete it and have it come back as a report in the future?
D would come back probably in March.
In March, okay. And so, okay.
Murthy?
Yes, sir. Okay, for C, these are the issues that we have to deal with and why we are requesting approval for C. A and B, of course, they are needed as a part of Section 1. We have already engaged in the RFQ document production, and we have a CMO board solicitation coming up. So A is absolutely necessary to keep the project going. Item C is we are requesting additional funds in order to several things. One is to continue the engineering needed to define that particular section, which has got 2+ miles of tunnels and 2 deep underground stations, cross passages. And we have several issues that has come up with the property owners and the right-of-way needs, which all requires additional geotechnical work and laboratory work on top of that, we have the environmental challenges that we have from the stakeholders. So this geotechnical work is absolutely necessary to defend our environmental clearance that we have received from FDA. And we have the environmental clearance for the entire 9 miles, so not doing this might jeopardize the entire 9 miles, so it is absolutely necessary. We also, as I said, we need additional geological borings that we need to do to what kind of influence that information is going to have on the designs, and the data will also address the site-specific conditions that are there at the stations and how it will influence our utility relocation, building protection, and environmental contamination, et cetera. The fourth item is we are going to use the work that we are doing as a part of C to answer questions that are being raised as a part of our current challenge to environmental clearance. And the as item number six, that as you can see, majority of the work is geotechnical work, and this takes time, permits, and everything. If we delay this, we may have major issues with the clearance that we have. That's why we are requesting approval for item C. If you have any other questions, I have Mr. Dennis Murray, project director, to answer questions.
Well, I think the big question here, just even with A, B, and C, there's still, this is $30 million additional, or $30 million your additional funding you're asking for.
Yes, sir.
Is it within the existing budget, or is this new money?
Yes, sir. It is already covered in the budget that we have.
I mean, the issue for me here, obviously, is, you know, it seems that, you know, it's the great sucking noise. And, you know, as I looked at the budget, I'm not sure we get to it today, but like on the Sepulveda widening and things like that, you're basically asking or almost used up your contingency. So there's going to start to be a run on these dollars, and I don't want to lose sight of the bigger picture. And hopefully when this comes back, that the bigger picture will be presented to us.
Yes, sir. You know, I should note here that, you know, we're not recommending moving any Measure R dollars from any project to any other project, including the subway. We are, on a separate item, not for this committee, the post-Measure J discussing, looking forward to continuing to advance the East Side Extension project despite FTA suggestions that we stop. We want to also continue the South Bay extension discussion, even though the FTA asked us to stop. We want to continue to work on the subway and our many, many other projects against the potential that we're going to have a new federal transportation bill in about 18 months. There's discussion in Washington of an aggressive infrastructure program in that bill, potentially a new economic stimulus package. We all have our opinions about whether that will or won't happen. But there'll be other discussions about how we advance these projects. So we're trying to make sure we're teeing up all these projects so that all of them can advance in against that situation. And so anyway, this segment two work on the geotechnical is just consistent with the idea of doing some long time lead work that's complicated and gonna take a great deal of time. At some point, if none of this other stuff happens, at some point we will have to begin to slow down all these projects. We just think this is not the right time to do it. That time may come in a few months.
Well, and because of that, I mean, I think, the question I was going to ask is related to C and D both, on as it relates to Section 2, is that maybe that should be delayed or part of that post Prop J strategy discussion instead of trying to move forward, because that does, you know, make a hit.
Well, our request for this meeting is to defer J likely until March. At that point, we'll have more financial analysis done. We would request that Segment 2 get or C get approved so that we can do the work, which requires a great lead time.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Fasano.
Yes, you mentioned the report coming back on the post-Major J discussion. My understanding is that actually got pulled off the committee that was going to go on. I'm just asking for clarification at this time. Is the intent to bring that to the committees next month and then go to the full board next month, but to go to the committees
first? I believe it's on the agenda for the full board this month.
So it got pulled from the committees, but it's going to the full board.
Staff's recommendation was to go to the full board, and that's what we're doing. The purpose of that, for example, is we began to work on advancing the East Side Extension in the South Bay out of order from Measure R, and I want to make sure that we're, if we continue that work, that the board is okay with that, similar to this thing here. So
my question then is, what is the standing report for that item? Is that report being changed? When are we all going to see it, or is it the same report?
It's on the agenda for next week. Yeah.
So it's the same item that had
same report, though?
That was pulled off EMAC. That same report is going to the board.
Right.
Pardon?
Yeah, that's the question. Who pulled it off EMAC?
There was a – I was in Sacramento.
I understand there's a discussion at the staff briefing and that there had been some concern that there was some sense about maybe certain projects being advanced a little too quickly. There was concern about the subway. And then there was some discussion about coming back to all the committees. So I'm trying to get an understanding of what
is going forward. As I understand it, the deputies had a great deal of concerns that we'll be happy to address. But my recommendation, which is in that J board report, is to continue to work on these projects. That's staff's recommendation, and I wanted that to come to the full board for direction. Does the board want us to continue to work on the East Side Extension and the South Bay Extension? We're, you know, that work started predicated on J failed. Should we continue against potentials which may come up in the future, or should we cease that work? I will recommend to you that we not cease that work on East Side or South Bay.
How about the 710? Do you recommend we cease the work on that as well?
North or south, sorry.
What, pardon?
North or south.
North.
Staff's recommendation will be to continue that, to advance that project, as with the Sepulveda Pass. Sepulveda Pass, the assumption on that is that we would not be using Measure R dollars against the potential for a public-private partnership of some kind. That's what the board's authorized us to evaluate. So part of what we want to communicate on the measure, the post-J, is that despite the failure of J to get a two-thirds vote, we have a great deal of work in front of us, and I want to make sure that we're proceeding consistent with the directions of what the board are, and that we proceed in a consistent fashion. We're going to advance East Side, even though the FTS asks us to stop. We're going to advance South Bay. We're going to continue to try to advance the subway. We're being consistent on all fronts.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? I'm okay with A and B. I think C should be part of that March conversation. So I'm not prepared to support that today. So what is the will of the committee?
I'll move we support A and B today.
I'll second that. Any objections? So ordered.
I would be concerned with that. And I mean, I was listening to conversation, and I just still don't have, I'm convinced that postponing C, the benefit of that at that time, and what additional.
Well, the whole thing would go to the board. So I don't mean, I'm just saying in front of the committee today. I mean, C and D would still go to the board. And
it would still go to the board.
Oh yeah.
But I thought we're at the CEO's recommendation, we are removing D.
We can remove D from this discussion.
Yeah. C would go to the board.
C would go. That's fine. That's fine.
Without
approval.
Yeah, without approval. Oh, so A and B would go with approval, and C would go without approval.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So A and B will go with approval. C will go without approval.
But we'll go to full board.
And at the request of the
CEO, D is being pulled.
Okay.
Okay. That clarify for everybody? Okay, without objection, so ordered.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is item 72.
I'll stay right here. Thanks.
Good morning, Brian.
If there's a nexus between 72 and 73, feel free to tie them together.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that opportunity. Yes, these are two items that deal with the Foothill Extension. The Foothill Extension, as you know, consists of both Phase 2A and 2B. 2A is under design and construction as we speak. Phase 2B is going through the environmental and planning process. These two items, the first one dealing with Phase 2A, would allow Metro to use some portion of the Metro-supplied equipment and support costs for Metro-requested betterments. We discussed this item with Foothill staff. They're in agreement with this philosophy. Staff definitely feels there's a benefit to doing this, so we recommend approval of item 72.
Okay, are there any questions on 72?
Move it.
Chair, second. Without objection, so ordered.
Item 73 for Phase 2B of Foothill. This would provide additional funding to allow continuation of the environmental planning and engineering work on Phase 2B, so that at such time as additional funding becomes available, the project will be in a state to move forward expeditiously. So staff is recommending that we authorize the authority to use $30 million more of their own money to continue to advance this project.
Okay. Is there any
I guess they're putting in $8 million of their own. Is that what it is at this point?
Right now they have authorization for $6 million to do Phase 2B environmental work. And what we're requesting is additional funding to allow them to continue that environmental work.
The amount requested enough?
Yes. According to their staff, it's adequate to get them through that process.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Move approval.
Move and second. Any objection? So be the order. Okay. I believe that the remainder are receive and file items. Is that all the action items?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's take item 74.
Good morning, Michelle Navarro from the Office of Management and Budget. This is a receive and file report on the progress of budget themes and performance metrics. We've developed metrics to measure performance of our budget themes, which is included in the board report. This report is reporting on the progress of civil rights compliance, the advancement of bus, rail, highway, and freeway projects. So in summary, civil rights is meeting targets for adhering to civil rights. Planning projects are meeting performance targets and completing their planned milestones. Highway and freeway project expenditures are in line with project progress, and highway program delivery is closely monitoring the timeliness of completing their planned milestones. Transit project delivery is experiencing some delays in completing their planned milestones, as well as possible project cost issues. And item 78 will discuss and go into more detail on each of the projects. This concludes my report, and staff is here to answer any questions.
Well, I think going back to one of my previous comments, on page one of your performance metrics, I believe it's attachment A, it continues to be an issue. Those under the highway project, the countywide sign wall program, congestion reduction program, and particularly the Sepulveda Pass Improvement Project, as it relates to the percentage of completion and the percentage of dollars expended, they were heavy into the contingency dollars. What are our plans? I mean, as like the 405 Sepulveda that I mentioned, you're 62% completed, you've expended basically 60% of the dollars, yet you're almost 74% into your contingency versus, you know, the Gold Line, Expo, Crenshaw, Regional Connector, West Side Subway, you're zero into your contingency. So maybe you can give us an idea how this might impact other projects down the road.
We can do that. We promised yesterday committee to come back next month with a report on what we do to correct the 405 problem, but
yes, sir.
Please.
We are currently in negotiations with Caltrans, City FLA, and the contractor. There have been a lot of additional work that has come up as a result of the changes to make sure the project is safe and usable by the public. The delays that we had because of the right-of-way issues associated with GSA, VA Hospital, Getty, all of this has influence on the project. In addition to that, we had major utility relocation issues with third parties. So all of this has an influence on the cost as well as the schedule. So what we are doing right now is negotiating with the contractor and trying to put our hands around the cost and completion time for this project. And we will be coming back to you in February with our recommendation about what should be the cost for completion and what will be the schedule. However, we need to point out that we are concentrating our efforts to see how much of completion can be accomplished as quickly as possible so we can get this project used by the public. The portions of the high-speed lane or the high-occupancy lane, we are working with Caltrans as to which areas we can make it work quickly. So that's where we are. So we'll be back in February.
So you're coming. The other committee requested you come back on the 405, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So could we add the other two there that are significantly into their contingency piece to give us an idea there as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions on the budget metrics issues? If not, we will receive and file. Next is with that addition of the other two projects being tied into the 405 analysis you're doing for next month, correct?
Yes, sir.
75. Wait a minute. Let's stop there. I'm going to go to Caltrans. Mr. Miles, why don't you give us your report?
Okay, I'll start with the I-5 South, segment number one. It's the Alondra Boulevard project. It's about 15% completed with construction. However, have the contractors on a temporary suspension, and we'll start work again on the first week of February, and the suspension is due to utility relocations that were unforeseen, and we're in the process of getting those removed. Segment number two, the Valley View project, is 95% design completed. There's 60 commercial properties that are in the appraisal phase. Some of those have had their first written offers, and right-of-way certification is on target for March of 2014. And then also on segment number three, the Shoemaker project is in the design phase. The contract for this project was approved by the Office of Attorney General on September 18, 2012. The contractor is in the submittal phase of the project, and construction is going to begin in February of 2013. In fact, there's a groundbreaking for that segment on February 6th. So we have invited Metro and everybody to attend that groundbreaking. Segment number four, Imperial Highway. This contract was also approved on September 18th. The contractor is in the submittal phase, and again, we'll start construction in February of 2013. And segment number five is in the design phase. The project has been submitted to headquarters PS&E for certification, and it should be ready to list on March 29th of 2013. Funding for construction and capital is through Prop C and state and local public-private partnership or local partnership funds and SHOP. And construction is targeted for 2016. So that's the I-5 South. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Are there any questions?
Not. I'll go to I-5 North. Segment number one is State Route 118 to State Route 170. It's 62% construction completed. It's continuing, and we see no major risks or problems on that project currently. Segment number two, State Route 170 to Buena Vista. Again, 70% construction is completed. We are working with LADWP to resolve some issues of relocating their facilities so that we can construct the sound walls for that segment. And we also had to change the types of footings that we're using on those sound walls from a pile footing to spread footings to accommodate the utilities that are in that area. We don't foresee any other changes or risks associated with that right now other than the sound walls. Segment number three, the Empire Avenue project. We had a very good meeting with Metrolink and Metro and others earlier in the week to discuss construction and maintenance agreement. We've reached consensus on that, so that part will be moving forward. The contract was awarded on November 29th. Construction has been suspended until June of 2013, and the reason is utility relocations that have to be done by a third-party contractor. There's some pipelines and things that need to be relocated, and we're working with those third-party vendors to get that done. Segment number four, the Magnolia Avenue to State Route 134. Its construction is 30% complete, and we don't see any problems in that segment right now. And that completes the report on the I-5s. Any questions?
No. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. Item 75.
Good morning. It's Karen Gorman here with Jack Shigatomi, making a report to you today concerning community claims concerning the 405 construction project. This is just a progress report. Our final report will be coming in the coming weeks. We were asked to look into the claims process that is taking place concerning public's requests for compensation for damages they're incurring as a result of construction on the 405. So far, we've accumulated statistics that are included in the back of the document about the number of claims that they've received, how many they have paid thus far, on the average, how quickly they're able to determine whether or not they can make that payment, and what the payments amount are. The number of claims we found, there was a little clerical error at Metro that when they were making the log of the claims they were receiving, they had written numbers 197, 198, 199, 300. 301, they had skipped 100 in the sequence, just a clerical error. So that's being corrected, but that might have caused them to overstate the number of claims they had received in the past because of that clerical error, which is now being corrected. How the claims process works is Caltrans delegates the liability to Metro. Metro delegates it to Kiewit. Kiewit delegates it to its various subcontractors. And so we're having to contact all of those different people to look at their files, look at their logs, and see what's occurring to respond to the public's claims. And so we're in that process now, and we're going to be looking at the claims that were denied in particular to confirm not only the numbers that are occurring, but also whether or not there's good communications taking place with the public. Because if you explain to a person who requests damages, if they're denied, why, they can be a lot more accepting of that response if they get a good explanation than if they don't. So we think it's not just a matter of payment and timeliness, but also of good communications that need to take place with the public. And so we're looking at that, and we'll be reporting on that to you as well. We also think that if you look at these numbers, you're going to say, well, these numbers don't seem right because for this number of claims, the amount that's claimed seems awfully low. And it is understated at this time because sometimes people submit their claims without saying what the amount is they claim, such as if they say their fence was damaged by a truck, come fix it, but they don't say what the amount is they estimate the cost to be. Then they haven't put down a number for that claim because there was no amount specified. Also, if they go out and just fix the fence that was broken at their own cost and don't send out a check to the person, then they also don't put down those numbers as part of the claim amounts. So that's why it may appear a little understated. So that's the progress that we're making, and we appreciate being assigned this project. We're getting a lot of good information, and we hope to be able to give you good information in our report that's forthcoming. Are there any further questions I can answer?
Okay, are there any questions? Most of the questions we'd have would be about the rumors.
I don't know the rumors, but.
All right. Anyway, okay, we will receive and file. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Pardon me? Oh, there is? John Walsh. Sorry, John.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Yes, Tuesday, 10,000 successful server requests. Just one point. I'm really interested in the rumors, too, but I just let, for the record, the lady here to my right is ethics. She is not paid to be the inspector general. She's been in an unfilled position for almost 5 years. Now, we are going to go to the USDOT on this issue this week.
Thank you. All right, the item before is just the receiving file.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 76, I just was informed that has been pulled yesterday and will be coming back to our committee next month. Okay, item 77.
Can you put the screen, please? Item 77 is giving you an update on various projects we're handling. I think I-405, there's nothing much to say here other than we are having our challenges. We are working through with them. We have a partnering session that we have been regularly meeting with the executives of the Kiewit company, and we have created some focus teams to address the budget issues, to address the schedule issues. So we will be working on that, work it through this month, and get back to you in February the results of our work that we have done today. If you don't have any questions, I can go to the next one. Next one is the congestion reduction demonstration project. This project is on target, and the one that we have on 110 is working very well, and the I-10, we hope to have it sometime end of February open for use by public.
Chairman, if I could ask,
go ahead,
Murthy.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what the transponder count is up to on the I-110?
Mr. Chairman, I can answer that. There, it's up to 80,000.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's. Almost 40,000 since it started. It was just, it was under 40.
It's almost double since
it started. That's fantastic.
September-ish. Including occasional users.
Sorry?
Including the occasional users.
Including the occasional use.
Including the occasional users.
Okay.
Now, that program rolled out really well. Stephanie, the whole crew on that, the agency did a great, there was this whole big run-up that happened. Now it's just operating like it's no big deal. So that's the way it should be.
Yeah. It's the way it should be. We are still in our offices getting not kind remarks.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not the way it's operating.
Right. No, I hear
but
you.
But it's implementation.
The concept.
Okay.
Just heard on the Petzos Plaza, there is really not much to report there other than we hope to have the design build bids received in summer of 2013 so we can get that project moving. Division 13 update. We have Tim Lindholm here. Tim?
Good morning again. Last committee, we had some discussion about Division 13. I was asked to provide more details, so I'm going to go through a relatively brief report, but it hasn't had a lot of visibility down here, and I wanted to just get everyone up to speed on where we're at. So first off, just some background on the project. It's a 200-bus operations and maintenance facility built exactly adjacent to where we are right now between us, the jail, and the central maintenance facility.
It's the first new bus operations and maintenance facility in over 30 years we've built here. What it really is it allows us to operate more efficiently as a bus system and also as a platform for state of good repair improvements. Once we finish this project, we can start tackling our other mischievous problems with Divisions 1 and 2, some of our oldest facilities. Like I said, it's constructed right across the street. It's a bid build, so it's 100% designed. We have a contractor on board, and we're building it right now. And it will be our fifth LEED building. It's going to be a LEED Gold. And one of the interesting features I thought I'd throw out there that helps us get to that LEED Gold is it'll be the first bus maintenance facility in the nation that captures 100% of its stormwater and reuses it for bus washing. So that's what it looks like. That's a view of it from actually
Tim,
my office.
Tim, I think that's great. I mean, you get this as a LEED's Gold for a bus facility. That's pretty impressive.
Thank you. So there's the view of it from my office, actually. What it is, it's a three-story building, one underground, which is the employee parking underground. At grade is bus maintenance and bus storage, fueling, that sort of stuff. And then on the roof is where we store buses. The building along Vinyas, that's the intersection of Vinyas and Cesar Chavez, that's the transportation building headquarters. And the building in the far back, kind of adjacent to our central maintenance, is where the new maintenance shop is. So it's built exactly adjacent to the central maintenance facility, but it operates separately. These are some views of it at night and during the day at the intersection of Cesar Chavez and Vinyas. As you can see, it's not your average bus maintenance facility. It's got some architectural touches on it where it makes it a pretty unique project. Here's another view of the administration building along Vinyas. Oops. And that's the aerial of the site we had done in December. This kind of just shows you where we're at right now. We're building this in the old Terminal 31, where we used to operate layover buses, and in the old parking lot for the central maintenance facility. And we're vacating Lyon Street right in the middle. And that's actually exactly where we're at right now. All the utilities that run the jail, the central maintenance facility, and go to our headquarters are located within Lyon Street. That's right in the middle of the project there. So what we're doing right now is building a new utility corridor along the jail wall and onto Vinyas so that we can get rid of Lyon Street forever. So all the contaminated soil excavation is done as of yesterday. That was on the west side of Lyon, and now we're focusing on the east side of Lyon. So in terms of a timeline, the budget was approved in September of 08, $95 million. Right after that, we won our first grant for this project, which is a $5 million clean fuels grant from the FTA. Then we awarded a design contract thereafter. And then the project got put on hold because we didn't the money that we were going to use for this project, Prop 1B, didn't materialize. And then in October of 2010, we won the largest grant in the country for this project, largely because it was ready to go at $47.5 million from the FTA. Bids were received in September of 11. Then it got delayed again because we did not have our match together to match the project, but we finally got all of our funding in order. In May of 2012, awarded the contract to McCarthy, started in August. The last major piece of procurement on this project is the CNG equipment. We got bids yesterday, just qualifications bids. We don't know the price yet. And right now, as we speak, we're just doing excavation and utility relocations. We'll probably build our first piece of permanent work in the next couple weeks. A little bit on the history. The budget was approved in 2008 based on a design concept. We had not done any design. And it was based pretty much on the amount of funding we had available. That was it, the Prop 1B and the TDA. Like I said, it did get delayed about 2 years due to these funding issues, but due to the grants that we received from the FTA, we were able to get it back on track. But all this contributed to about a two-year delay in the project. So the big slide, this is the budget status right now. If you look to the left column, that's the original life of project budget, totaling up to $95 million. The middle is our current forecast, and that's what shows the story of what we're struggling with right now. And this came up in the board last month because we are dipping into our contingency more than I would like to at this point. But what it shows is that the construction line items, the hard construction work, is largely tracking to budget. We had it at about 76. We're at about 76 now. Where we're struggling is in the project administration, the staff labor, the construction management, third parties, utilities, the street vacation, all that soft cost, the design work, is trending above where we had it in the original budget to the tune of about $4 million, which is causing the contingency to dip down to $1 million.
Now I'm going to go over in the next slide. We're working really hard on some options to save money and refeed that contingency back. One thing I'm going to talk about a little bit is we had previously, we were going to underground all the electrical lines on Cesar Chavez. They're all above ground right now. We've abandoned that concept because we just simply can't afford it. So that's going to save $1 million, and we're working on unwinding that right now so we can realize those savings. If that happens, that'll cause the contingency to go up to two. Other things we're doing, we've directed our contractor and our designers to come up with value engineering solutions. I've got some in hand already. We're still evaluating them. Like I said before, we abandoned the undergrounding of the electrical lines. That'll save $1 million. Another big thing is that, like I'd mentioned, the CNG system is out to bid right now. We're saving a certain amount of money for that procurement. If that comes in under, which I hope it will, then that'll also return to the contingency. We're also really looking hard at our professional services and staff expenses to cut the cost wherever we can. And like I said, we're in the worst part of the project right now, the underground, the relocating utilities. As soon as we get done with that, which will be in June of 2013, really all the high-risk issues will be out. We'll have a very good idea of where we're at, and we'll return to you then on hopefully a success story of how we got this back on track. With that, that includes that portion of the report, and happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Well, I mean, we go back to the 405 issue and, you know, the cost implications as it relates to the overall strategy that we have here by that contingency fund fast being used up. And so it continues to be a significant issue to all of us.
Absolutely. In fact, we just found another high-pressure gas main yesterday, which was not identified by any of the drawings, are not even found during the potholing. We just found yesterday in the excavation right on this Division 13. So there are some unknowns out there which we go in. Sometimes it causes a problem to the budgets.
Okay. Any other questions, Jose?
It's on the undergrounding of the utilities on Cesar Chavez. So from where to where were they to be?
Let me show you. It's probably best if I can go back to the picture. That aerial photograph. If you could see that whole length of Cesar Chavez on the I guess the left side of the screen, that's where it was to take place. All those power poles you see there were going to go underground, and those power poles were going to disappear. So that was largely an aesthetic concern of the design team, but it's turned out to be very expensive. So we felt that was worth undoing, and while we're undoing it and going to leave the power poles there, we're also leaving some provisions there so that should we decide to underground it in the future, we can accomplish it at a later date.
Yes, there's also a proposal after you go over the bridge on the east side, I think beginning on State, to underground some of those utility poles to Soto. Mm-hmm. So if The issue with that is that it was CRA money, but since that's still we haven't figured out if that money will still be available. I think to have a continuous underground of utilities all the way over here would kind of make sense. Mm-hmm. So at some point I would like to further discuss whether those $1 million would make sense to find somewhere else and continue the underground utilities, because it's would have added value if, in fact, we're continuing that all the way up Cesar Chavez. So if we could examine that in the future and work with the city in determining whether, in fact, that project is moving forward or not, it would make sense to continue this. And maybe there might be some economies of scale if we could do it at the same time, perhaps, and have the labor out there at the same time, et cetera. It may be even cheaper than $1 million, perhaps, if we kind of combine those two projects together.
So I'd be glad to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Please proceed.
Quickly, Universal City Station Pedestrian Bridge, we have met with the community over there, and we have agreed upon a design, and we are finally doing the value engineering on it, and we plan to go for design build advertisement in March. Crenshaw LAX, as I said, it's in evaluation. There's nothing much I can report on that at this stage. Regional connector, again, we are in procurement, proposal period, so nothing much I can say about it. West Side Subway Extension, I do have some good news. We did award the contract and notice to proceed for the exploratory shaft. That's a cost of $6,487,000. So that work is going to start soon. This is very essential for us to find how the tar sand behaves, what kind of fossils we find. All of that information will be useful to the design builder so he can price it as to the geological conditions that they see. That concludes my presentation.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other reports that we need to hear before? I just, in public comment, because we do have the EMC meet at 11:30, and I'd like to see that start on time.
I can do the CEO's report if you'd like.
All right. CEO's report.
Press conference this afternoon up in Santa Clarita, the McBean Park and Ride, $3 million of MTA money invested. Very important facility. We're excited about it. I've seen the initial sample TAP-compatible Metrolink ticket. Looks very good. We're excited about it. Was in Sacramento last week, met with a number of elected legislator members as well as Brian Kelly. With that, I'll conclude my report.
Okay. All right. I will call you up on item 77.
Thank you very much. I'll try to be quick. Whole goal here is actually trying to get all of us to be quick. My name is David Murphy. I'm president of Angelinos Against Gridlock, and we founded an effort called the Faster 405 campaign because we, too, share the concern about getting this project done as fast as possible. I wish everything was as easy to get attention as this issue on transit issues or bike issues that I'm also interested in. But on this, we've had CBS, LA Business Journal, Daily News. I had the chance to talk with a very eloquent Paul Taylor on Which Way LA. It's been a lot of interest on the 405 project delays because there's so many people on it. It's the third busiest freeway section in the entire nation, as we all know. And we've all been following the six-month delay predictions. Very concerned about the slide today that says we're looking at potentially another 9 months of additional delays, according to the contractor, Kiewit. Huge impact on our economic productivity and, you know, loss of hair, speaking personally here, just with the traffic delays. So I really hope we all do as much as we can to expedite work. Further delays just don't work. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment under the normal? Okay, Mr. Walsh. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Walsh, you signed up for 77 and public comment, so proceed on both. Thank you.
Blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org. Yeah, I agree. 15 months delay on the road project. And you want to know, before you told us no problems. Now it's 15 months. The Times doesn't do this story because it makes you look bad. So 15 months. Kiewit, weren't they involved in some problems with the tunneling previously, subway tunneling? Okay, first of all, this is for a potential lawsuit. I want to know why Aaron Najarian isn't here. I want you to read it into the record in case there'll be a lawsuit. And he's disappeared, just like the Turks made other Armenians, a million of them, disappear. Okay, and I was interested when he said fossils. You're building a test shaft. Now, some of you may remember that when Ron Tudor was building at the Western Station, he found a woolly mammoth. And you want to know what Ron Tudor did with it? He put it in the dumpster. Because under the rules, anytime you find any kind of archaeological discovery, you have to stop construction. That's what's happened. Don't worry, the LA Times is on your side. Monica Lewinsky, their reporter, Mr. Monica Lewinsky, their reporter. And I just want you to understand the 405, the fossils, Aaron Najarian. But there was good news. You're not going to hear it. And that was the Division 13. I'm going to let you have the last 25 seconds. You want to know what's going on? HollywoodHighlands.org.
Thank you. There being no further business, the meeting is adjourned, and turn it over to Mr. Antonovich and the EMC. All right,